today on Real Radio.
I've told you before, I'll say it again, especially if you're visiting for the first time. Yes, Pastor, I'd like to meet with you and find out, what is the vision of Calvary Chapel? What are you guys doing? We don't have a clue what we're doing. Although, what we're doing is found in the Bible, Hebrews 11:8. We're out following God, not knowing where we're going. And that's the truth.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Believer's Foundation, continues in a series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. We'll be covering Galatians chapter 3 today with verses 6 through 9. How can we who are sinful by nature come to a God who is holy by nature? The only way to come to God is through His gospel of grace. Scripture is the firm foundation for every believer. The Word of God is our only true and solid platform by which we can grow in grace. This foundation of grace is the work of God that is so complete that any other human attempt or offering given to assist God in salvation will only be in vain. Today, on day 3 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that we are justified by faith, and it was at God's own expense. The sacrifice of His Son Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross gave us salvation. This liberates us as believers because our righteousness comes to us by God's statutes and holiness, and not our own. And now, continuing his lesson called The Believer's Foundation, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
My mom would say, now look, your room's clean, don't go in there. Why? Don't go in there. Why? Because there's things in there. Things. What kind of things? They'll get you. All my life. Here's the downside of that. When the sun's up, who cares? Then she would say, all right, go to your room. It's time to go to bed. No way! Why are you having such a hard time? There's things in there. Where'd you get that idea from? Little kids, you hear it. That's it. It's a reality. Why? Because it's in the heart of a child to believe in the authority. Isn't that something? A little child, that's why child abuse. God says it's better for that person who abuses a child to have never been born. He said it'd be better for them. Better. For them to have a millstone that's at least 2,000 pounds tied around their neck and thrown into the deepest of oceans than have God get a hold of them in the end. Woo! They're believing. And when God says something, we're to believe it like a child. Our culture's gotten so cynical and so critical. It's tragic. Justification was God's idea, and He did it His way, and He did it all. Romans 4, verse 20 tells us, Abraham did not waver at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in his faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, God was also able to perform it. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. You see, he believed that God would come through. And then again, we heard it a moment ago, Hebrews 11, verse 8. Hebrews is a great chapter on faith. Hebrews 11, 8 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, went out not knowing where he was going. I've told you before, I'll say it again, especially if you're visiting for the first time. Yes, Pastor, I'd like to meet with you and find out, what is the vision of Calvary Chapel? What are you guys doing? We don't have a clue what we're doing. Although, what we're doing is found in the Bible, Hebrews 11:8. We're out following God, not knowing where we're going. And that's the truth. If I were to give you some grand 15-year plan, who can read the mind of God? It's just a bunch of baloney. I want to follow Jesus. Yeah, you know, he's given us just enough. And you know, we're building a building right now, and they're pouring the east wing this week. And you know what? Who's to say it's ever going to get done? What if the rapture happens? Do you think of that? Oh, would God do that? I am praying he'll do it. Don't you want to move into the building? Oh, gee, let me see. Let's weigh this out. Let's take asphalt. Okay, asphalt. Let's take $700,000 worth of asphalt versus what God uses in heaven for asphalt. Gold. Ours is going to be black with stripes, gum, and spit on it. In heaven, it's gold. okay, we're going to put a sound system in. You got to put wires and all that stuff. Oh, in heaven, angels sing. Oh, we got to get a new guitar. Okay, fine. In heaven, see, whatever you resurrect here for us to consider, it's only a pathetic example of where we're heading. Very important. No wonder why Abraham was one who followed God, who followed a builder, it says, who is building a city without human hands, whose builder and maker is God. Isn't that great? That's us, sons and daughters of Abraham. And that's an exciting thing. Well, justification by faith is established by God. It's God's idea. Number two under this point, justification by faith, it's at God's expense. He paid for it. It says in verse 6, and it was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. The word accounted here is a mathematical term. And by the way, it's where we get the word logarithmic from. And the word means this, to take an inventory of, to draw a conclusion, to number, to reason, to reckon, to make a determination based upon the math. In other words, God did the math, and God declared Abraham righteous. But what math did God do? Thank God, it was not modern math. God did his math, and here's his math. Are you ready? You got Abraham. He's a pagan, okay? Non-Jew, idolatrous person. He's got nothing. He's wandering in the wilderness following God, but he believes in what God says. That's it. It's the only thing going for him. He doesn't have any clout. In fact, you wonder what kind of fun they poked they poked at him at home back in the homeland. Remember that idiot that got up one day and took off, walked off into the desert with his wife and his donkey, saying, God's calling me, God's calling me. This word account, it means that God in his eternal wisdom and knowledge did the math. And he went, okay, I'm holy, I'm just, I'm righteous, I'm eternal, I have need of nothing. Abraham. Pagan, sinner, lost, wandering in the wilderness. Loser. Loser Abraham. God did the math, and you know what? Listen, to those of you who think if you're, maybe in the end my good will outweigh my bad and I'll get in. That is one of the most horrible, horrible places to be because you won't get in. But God took that away. In the word account, it means that Abraham's zeroness with God, his inability to influence God or bless God by any performance, went nothing. God's righteousness is so profound that God said, oh my, it's impossible. It's impossible for Abraham and I to be friends unless me being who I am, I declare him righteous. Even though the math's all goofy, I'm going to cancel out Abraham's performance altogether and I'm going to apply my righteousness. Listen, my righteousness to his account. Don't answer this question. It's just for those listening on the tape. When God did that, was Abraham himself righteous? The answer on earth's side, no. But was Abraham righteous in the sight of God? The answer is yes. What do I mean by that? If you keep reading Genesis, once Abraham is declared righteous by God, he keeps making mistakes. He keeps blowing it. Listen carefully. Some of you, the light's going to come on. God declared Abraham's righteousness based upon God's holiness. And he transmitted, as it were, the status of God's righteousness to Abraham's status. But Abraham was still a sinner. Abraham did not become righteous in his actions. He could not. Abraham was declared righteous by status. Anybody not getting that? I'll say it again. God decreed Abraham's righteousness. It was attributed to his account. Okay? Even though Abraham was in effect the same person the day after he met the Lord. It was by faith. That is something for you to chew on. But listen, it comes to home. God says to you, Christian, this morning, or those of you who want to receive Christ, God says, you bring me your sin, you bring it to me now, and I will have your sin removed from you, and I will accredit my righteousness to your account. And in heaven, you will be declared righteous, sealed with the Holy Spirit, and heaven bound. Are you with me? The moment that happens to you, theoretically, you could get out of the sanctuary, get behind the wheel of your car, pull out on Edison Avenue, and blow it. And yet your righteousness is still intact and perfect with God. You better get that, because that is called Christianity. If you don't get what I'm talking about, you're missing it. See, this plague that we have, it's still, God did it all to him. I owe sin, lift his criminal's name, lose the way to snow. But I'm going to do my best to really impress God and kind of get in, you know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And there's me! No, it's not going to work that way. You got to get that. Abraham was the same man before he came to faith in God as he was the day after on earth's side. But in heaven, he was declared righteous. It's incredible. It's awesome. It's exciting. Lenski puts it this way. The accounting of God did not make Abraham himself righteous. It did not change his person. The accounting of God changed the status that Abraham had with God forever. That's good news. It was at God's own expense. How so was it at God's expense? And we'll end soon with this. What is it that Abraham, in believing in God, what is it that empowered such righteousness to be imputed to him? Watch this. Last, respond to me right now. How do you know that you are saved right now? The work of Christ. But listen, how do you know the work of Christ happened? Did you have any account of that? How do you know it really happened? The Word of God. And if you're having a hard time with that, you take the Word of God and you put it up next against scientific or archaeological evidence. Jesus really lived. He really died. He really rose again according to the what? Scriptures. How was Abraham justified and made righteous before God? Abraham looked ahead, though he didn't understand it fully. Abraham looked ahead to the sacrifice of Christ. How are you saved? You look back at the sacrifice of Christ. You get that? It's so important. I tell you, next Sunday we're going to spend a lot more time on that truth alone. But listen, my friend, you're going to need to hear this. Romans 4, verses 5 through 13. It sounds a little laborious, but listen carefully. Romans 4, 5 through 13. But to him who does not work, that is, fulfill the law, but believes on Jesus who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted to him for righteousness. Remember how he said, just as Abraham? It's exactly the same for you today. Just as Abraham, just for you. It says his faith is accounted him for righteousness, just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God does not record or account his sins, but rather imparts righteousness. Romans 4, 7, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord shall not impute, that is, to make record anymore of his sins. Does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only, or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. How then? Was it accounted while he was circumcised? Listen, was Abraham circumcised when God said, you're righteous? Huh? No, he wasn't. That did not come for some 14 years later. Okay, watch. And he received the sign of circumcision, same as baptism today, as a seal of righteousness of the faith which he had while he was still yet uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that the righteousness might be imparted to them of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of faith which our father Abraham had while he was still uncircumcised. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but it was to Abraham through the righteousness of faith. Man. Listen, this means that you can turn to your child who just accepted Christ and say, listen, sweetie, you know what? God's going to empower you by His Spirit to walk the rest of your life with Him. You know what? Yeah, it's going to get rough. You're going to get knocked to the right. You're going to get knocked to the left. But He's going to see you all the way through. Follow Him, sweetheart. Keep His Bible always open in front of you and just go after Him. But I tell you, He's going to get you through at the end. He's going to take you through. And that is the truth. You can turn to your child and say, now listen here, enough of this Bible stuff. You better toe the line and you better do these 10 things that I've established. And if you don't, you'll have no inheritance. And I'm not going to pay for your school. In fact, I'm going to kick you out of the house. You know what? You've already lost your kid. You've lost him. You broke his heart. Because he's defeated before he ever gets out of the gate. He can't do it. But our righteousness comes through Jesus Christ. Justification by faith is God's only way of salvation. There's no other way. And if somebody stands at your door, or if in your mind previous to coming in this morning, you think, oh yeah, faith, you know, faith, Christians, well, I believe, you know, praise the Lord and grace, all these Christians talking about grace. Listen, you ought not to mock something that cost God everything. It cost Him everything. It cost Him the life of His Son. Grace is not cheap. It's free, but it cost God everything. And we'll end with verse 7. Therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to the point where it's as though you could pull up a chair and sit with Him and trust Him to hold you? Do you? I want to leave this thought with you. It's very important. As I was putting this message together, this thought came to my mind. Do I really trust Christ? Am I really believing in God? And the Lord laid this back on me. Well, Jack, you know what? I know your heart. I know your life. But there's some doubt in your mind, Jack, because of what arises in my thinking, in my heart. I'm thinking this. The only time I really, really, really know if I'm trusting in God is when life gets tough. You know what I'm talking about? Now, here's the deal about our living in America. You live in America, you don't have to trust God. You know why? Maybe things like this. What's the matter with it? Well, it's broke or it doesn't work. Oh, you know what? We'll take care of it later. Yeah, have you ever heard that? I'm hearing that with the property construction things. What's the matter? Is this not the... it'll work. We'll deal with it later. No, get it out of here. You want to know why? I know what you mean. The American way of fixing things is to throw money at it. See, we can throw enough money at something and fix it. That's the American... In fact, you know, people tell us that around the whole rest of the world. Americans, you know how they fix something? It's a joke in America. It's a joke in Germany. It's a joke in Russia. You know how Americans fix things? They throw money at it. Just throw enough money at it. We'll get it fixed. We'll deal with it later. We're not trusting God when we do that. And the Lord challenged my heart. Are you trusting me? I asked God putting this message together. God, am I trusting you? Am I believing in you? Well, Jack, you know, you have no limit on your American Express card. I've had this card forever. I've purchased an $83,000 thing with my card. Well, I have my American Express card, God. What do I need to trust you for? If that fails, I have a Citibank. I've had that since 1980. If that fails, I've got friends. Or I've got things stashed away. I can lean on that. See, if that fails, we can call relatives. If that fails, you see how we think? You say, Jack, you're such a sinner. Well, I've been trying to tell you that for 10 years. And the other thing is, so is you. Oh, man, I don't know. Well, I don't know if we're going to make it this month, but I got the credit card. Ooh. Am I trusting in the Lord? And I can even venture out in a reckless area you would think would be something in faith. Yeah, let's buy that. Sure. And I'm thinking, well, if I can't afford it, I'll be able to work a few things out to where I can. You guys, I'm not saying that's a sin. I'm just saying we've come to trust in the works of our own hands. And I wonder if I take my business logic or my social logic or whatever this world's logic is, and I translate it into my relationship with God, and I say things like, God, I know you died on the cross for me. Thank you very much. That was something. Thank you. Really? But I'll take it from here. And you head off on your way, and you're going to do this for the kingdom of God. And you're talking and talking to God, and you're going down the road, and you're talking, and he's at the door knocking, saying, behold, if any man open up, I'll come in. I'm not even there. Hey, open up! Who you been talking to? Me, myself, and I. We've got it all covered. That's not faith. Can you pull up a chair and sit down with him, trusting him completely that his arms are there to hold you and to be that chair? That's the faith Abraham had. And that's the faith that we need. Father, we come, Lord, this morning, and we thank you. We thank you that your Bible, first of all, does not say that you'll only accept us on perfect faith, absolute, full, perfect faith. We thank you that your Bible even tells us that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So our faith is increased by hearing more of the Word. We would all have to confess this morning, like the man did before you, Jesus, when you walked the earth. He said to you, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Father, I pray that you would baptize us all into a deeper understanding and a bolder faith. Lord, may we go from this place today pumped up in the reality that just as Abraham was declared righteous, so are we. To all those this morning in the hearing of my voice who has said, Jesus, be my Lord and Savior. Take away my sins. Forgive me of all my wrong. And Lord, I receive your righteousness. Thank you for being risen from the dead for my justification. Father, we give you our lives and we thank you for your truth. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a message called The Believer's Foundation. Thanks for listening, and our hope is that you're laying your foundation in Jesus Christ. The Believer's Foundation is part of Pastor Jack's series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion, a series that brings to light our struggle between grace and good deeds. For we are justified through faith and not of our works, should any of us boast. Today was day two of this lesson, and we'll continue with more on the next edition of Real Radio. And I want to remind you to check out the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app when you get a chance. All kinds of ways to connect with everything that is Real Radio and Pastor Jack. Just simply go to your app store and download the Real Life app. You can also click your way through reallifewithjackhibbs.org and get the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. You know, if you are new to Christianity and you'd like to know more about Jesus Christ, please don't hesitate to go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And click on the tab there that says Know God. That's K-N-O-W, God. It's a great place to be introduced to the Lord and to learn more about what we've been talking about here on the program. Maybe you have somebody in your life and you don't feel comfortable being the one telling them how to know God. Well, why don't you let us help you with that? Send your friend or loved one to the reallifewithjackhibbs.org website and have them click on the Know God tab. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.